Well, we're back. It's only been
I don't know how long it's been.
16 months. Yeah, 16 really? Months. Yes. We have a lot to cover.
I don't even know what happened.
Get everyone back up to speed. Yeah, I know, right? So anyway, this is ungovernable. Anyone who's used to watching the Anarchist live show, which is the first thing that I started back up, which is actually a new endeavor, that goes out on this channel. But this channel was originally started as a long form podcast slash vlog type channel.
Yeah.
So, and for anyone who doesn't know, I keep looking up there because the camera used to be up there. Now it's down here, which is funny because I've done like 20 live casts at noon. On the
then you have it centered. Channel. So now you like kind of have to look to the
yeah, I don't even know down. Where it is now. It's like I have to look down that way. But so anyway, I'm Matt. This is Jocelyn. Mm. We're married.
Yeah.
Much to your chagrin sometimes. No.
Just
yes.
a contract.
That is true. We shouldn't call it that anymore. I believe you said I was effed our wedding
I
night.
Did? Oh,
yes,
shit.
Yeah. But, you know, it's mutual. Anyway, so, yes, we talk about a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
We talk about mind, body, spirit, balance.
Yeah.
We talk about sometimes I go on political rants, but really we want to talk about the more kind of like mental, spiritual aspect
yeah.
of.
We talk about balance.
Being free.
Mm.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so before we get into like all the background type of stuff. You've like done a lot. I've done a little. I haven't done as much as you have, but like, how would you reintroduce yourself to someone? How would you be like, hey, I'm Jocelyn and this is me, right? Like, I mean, because you're a completely different person than you were.
Am I?
Well, I mean, like, you still have the same kind of like foundation, but in terms of what you're working on, I mean, there's so much that's.
I'm back into art.
Well, yes. Time. Yeah. Yeah. But like, so, like, you hate this, but.
What?
With like networking group kind of talk, like elevator
you know
speech.
I can't do that.
Right? Like, like 30 seconds.
No, you know, I'm really bad at that.
You meet someone new and how do you explain who you are and what you do?
How many seconds is that? No, I've been saying I'm a certified soul art guide, yoga nidra guide,
yep.
Akashic Records guide.
Yeah.
And
no, that's a good start.
Yeah. And I, you know, I've been helping people through transitions.
Okay.
That's what I've been saying.
Yeah. But and there was something else that you came up with.
It I was came like, up with another. Oh, I'm a was curator it... of, no, curator, cultivator of curiosity.
Yes.
I
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I like, I'm talking about curiosity a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't even know that they're curious. Like they're stuck in some kind of place or rut. And maybe they should be more curious, I guess I would call it.
Maybe
or...
people are afraid to get too curious.
Well, that's true. There's a, once you start digging,
yeah,
there's
can't go back.
A lot of stuff that comes up.
But
yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You, we were just saying like the other day, as you raise your energy and you get curious, people tend to float away.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
new
yeah.
People
yeah,
come
yeah.
in.
No, this is something that is probably... one of the more difficult parts of going through some kind of evolution or metamorphosis
yeah.
or whatever you want to call it. a lot of people from your past expect you to be the person from your past.
Yeah.
And the, I think the more, I don't even know how to call them like more balanced people, more open-minded people. I think they just
more
kind
on
of
your,
like,
I hate this because I hate when people say when they're on your wavelength.
Yeah.
That's like the worst, but it's more like, connect like on the same energy,
yes.
Right? On
yeah,
the same energetic,
yeah.
Not that one's good or bad,
or maybe not even the same energy, but like that balance between positive and I don't want to get into like good versus bad, but like positive versus kind of like you know negative energy, right?
Yeah.
The people that are more positive typically they come with you,
yeah.
Right? Like they can usually deal with the new you, right? The people who expect you to be the old you. Sometimes
well, I think
they
those
kind
people
of
celebrate you, and then the people who don't want to
change
move
themselves,
or
yeah.
change, or and that's fine.
Yeah,
they tend to
fall away.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think well, it's the hardest part of like
those questions that you ask yourself are really difficult, And so the moment that you start asking them of other people, they're like, what the fuck are you asking me? Like, why do you care? Like, what does that matter anymore? Like, I thought we were just going to get together and drink and have a good time. Yeah. Oh, my God. Drinking. Holy shit. Well, I completely forgot. I was going
to say, it's like when someone goes sober, it's hard to keep friends.
I mean, that's true.
People find a way to do it, but when they're first sober.
But that being said, speaking of sobriety or the lack thereof, actually, it is something I've been kicking around. But it is a little bit of a legacy kind of thing that we do here. Like I said, I don't know if we're going to continue it. I have been kicking around the idea of just not drinking anymore at all. But that being said, typically we open a bottle of wine, have a couple, and that, would you say, lubricates the conversation a little bit?
Well, not that we need it, but we are around each other all day.
Yes, that is true. It helps bring up some new stuff that normally we don't talk about too, which is helps the conversation and the drama. I might have had a little pregame. So anyway, this is a dry farm wine. We are not sponsored.
Doing that back then, right? This is new since 18 months.
Yes, that's true. So
so good.
These are dry farm wines. They are organic, low sulfite wines.
Some kind of irrigation.
Non-GMO.
Low alcohol.
Yeah, it's like... And
you don't get a hangover.
Yeah, the hangover is nothing compared to other stuff because there's less crap in it.
Nitrates. It's all organic.
But so this one is called... it's a good thing I haven't been drinking before I have to say the name of this wine.
That's not a great
Wait, hold on. It is, if you can see it in the camera. Okay, it is, and this is from another country, so please forgive me. It is Mishulkalk. Mishulkalk. And the YouTube channel goes down immediately. Mishulkalk wrote. Rot. It's German.
Rot.
So it could be. Yeah. So the varietal is it's part Rotburger and part Blaufränkisch.
You did better than I would have.
Yeah. And I believe the name of the winery is Lichtenberger Gonzalez.
But I think with dry farm wines, you have to go through dry farm wines. I don't think you can find it because they're only...
They are limited run. And I do believe that they distribute through them. And they're all small irrigation. Stuff. So anyway, I'm going to allow you to have the first taste, seeing as I may already know what it tastes like. A reminder, while we are having the first one of the evening, because we are live, if you join us live on any of the channels that we put the show out on, you can make comments and jokes and feedback, and you can make fun of my really bad, corny sense of humor. Or whatever you want to talk about. We want to hear about what you want to talk about too. And we're going to have guests in the future like we have in the past.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting.
So in the future, you can also ask questions of the guests. So I am actually trying to get this out on as many channels as possible. Right now, vim.tv is being a pain in the rear end. But we're on Rumble. We're on, I have to get your account for X up here.
But do anything on it?
Well, yeah, we're streaming on my account and on the Ungovernable podcast account on X, and then we're out on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. I'm looking to add a couple more too. I forget if you can live stream to BitChute, but BitChute's another one that people put out to us, and then also Odyssey. I actually lost the email for Odyssey, so I have to try and get their technical support to help me out. But that being said, the reason why we put it out on a lot of channels is because we speak our mind and we don't really censor ourselves. And so it would not be unlikely for, say, YouTube or Facebook or some of these other channels to take issue with what we say. So
they did take issue with what we said.
Yeah. I mean, lucky, unlucky. I don't know. They pulled down a couple of our videos in the past. So
the whole channel.
Yeah. The whole channel didn't go down. I guess we don't get watched by enough people. So that being said, how's the wine?
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
It's light. Not too sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not a wine person, but
yeah, it's
can you tell the fruit in it? I don't know.
No, I'm not that good. I just know whether or not I get bombed or not drinking wine, but or if it tastes good.
You're not supposed to get bombed drinking wine.
Well, that's true, but sometimes
you know
things
what?
Happen.
I'll tell you what. It makes me want we're watching Yellowstone.
Oh.
And now I would just want to drink a double Tito's with a lime. Yeah.
That actually reminds me.
You look so good. Like, stop.
We have so much more to talk about, but like, that's going to be an episode where that quote I told you that I love.
That was such a good quote.
So the one character on Yellowstone, I keep looking to the top of the thing. I'm looking right here.
Yeah.
Beth. The one character, Beth, in Yellowstone. If you don't watch Yellowstone, it's absolutely fantastic. It's freaking addictive as hell. The one character, Beth, who is just a badass and a train wreck all in the same person. But she has like some really poignant insights sometimes. And one of which is she's sitting there and she's kind of looking out on, I forget what it was, the group of cowboys or whatever. And she goes, I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty convinced that there's no heaven or hell. There's basically people on this planet who are either living in their own personal hell or personal heaven.
Yeah.
And the planet or Earth is basically God.
Yeah. It was such a
that they live on top
cool.
of.
Cool. She comes out with some stuff.
And then, well, I mean, technically the writers put it out.
Well, so. Yeah. The character though.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. good.
But we can definitely talk about
that day. We should have that. Double Tito's with a lime. I don't know.
One.
I don't, you know,
one.
I don't, do well with those,
but, yeah.
Yeah,
and lots of water afterward. Yeah. Okay, so back on topic. All right,
what were we talking about?
You gave your elevator pitch.
I don't
or what what is the elevator pitch right now for the first 15 or 20 seconds? But you said a lot of things, that you were these guides and certified in certain things, but I'm not sure very many people understand what
nobody
they
knows what it is.
Okay, all right.
So, people know yoga nidra.
Okay.
Well, actually,
let's start with that one.
Most people think it's yoga doing poses. And I put him down on the ground and we put pillows under his knees.
Yeah.
A blanket.
We should do this show after 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. What?
Do you do the eye mask?
No, I don't do the eye mask. No.
And under the ankles, like, it's really effortless and it's
I mean, you're supposed to do it in, like, a corpse pose.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, no, you can do it all different ways. You could do it you could do it on your stomach, you do it on your side.
Oh, no, but I understand. But so what I'm saying is, say you did do it at the end, sometimes it's at the end of, like, a regular yoga.
Shavasana.
Right. And you're essentially in corpse pose, like, just laying there on your back.
Yeah. But you won't find a real yoga nidra at the end of a yoga class.
Yeah, it's, like, short. About. Yeah. But so, all right, so you lay down on your back.
Mm.
You get comfortable. Mm-hmm. You basically are listening to what amounts to essentially a meditation, like a guided meditation. Okay. But it's not like a guided meditation in terms of what we do on Friday with, and this is another thing we can talk about, is Artist Morning.
Wonderful.
But in terms of guided meditation, you're doing what I think is awesome is you're trying to kind of get the mind more connected with the body. Is that what it is?
Well, there's different stages of a yoga nidra.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go through the rotation of consciousness, which I think is your favorite part, right? Mm-hmm. It's my favorite part too. Where you're going around all these different body parts and just listening and bringing awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move into breathing, and that's the energetic, right? So you have the rotation of consciousness is your physical, relaxing your physical.
Yes.
And then you're relaxing your energetic self.
Yeah.
With the breathing. You've done a whole bunch with me.
Well, you're not explaining it to me. You're explaining it to them.
I know. And then and then you do the opposites,
mm-hmm.
which is either mental and emotional self.
Yeah.
Mental, emotional self. So you're relaxing into that. And then you're witnessing,
mm-hmm.
and you're relaxing into that. That's like images and storytelling through your yoga nidra, and then you're going to the bliss state.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, it's really a whole journey.
Yeah. The first one that you ever had me do, and if you're not familiar with the show, Jocelyn is the like completely wide open in terms of like exploration, at least compared to me.
Yeah.
Right. I'm the one who's like the skeptic and the cynic and everything like that. She's like, we're going to do this. And I'm like, we're going to do what?
Yeah.
You know? So the first time I lay down and went through it, the rotation started, and I forget what kind of part of the body we started in, but,
so good.
You start to focus, kind of like you're thinking on that area of the body, and then it moves to the next and the next and the next. And there is for me at least, there's like a, almost like a tingle or like a buzzing or a vibration that happens in that part of the body. And then the next one, the next one, the next one. And I thought what was also crazy interesting, and we'll have to do like a full episode on this because this has so many applications. It's really good for like anxiety sufferers. It's really good for people that have PTSD. I mean, like,
I went to it after my parents died.
It's grief, like any kind of loss, crisis, right?
If you have insomnia because like of anxiety.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's and like my experience with it is you really get into a state where you're not sleeping, but you're not awake.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of that in between. And that's actually something that a lot of people try to induce using what, like the white noise, like alpha brainwave, beta wave, brainwave kind of stuff. Right.
Get you into the different brainwaves.
Yeah. But it was, it's ironic to use the phrase eye-opening, but it was eye-opening in terms of what it actually was like in the moment. And then afterward, I felt just literal like bliss, like peacefulness kind of bliss afterward. Yeah. And it didn't last forever because real life starts back up again, but it's like,
Nice but you break. Also get, it's like, you're not sleeping, but you get a good rest in the middle of the day and then you can move on and you have a burst of energy later.
Yeah.
I find that if I'm really tired and do a yoga nidra instead of nap, I do much better. Yeah.
You don't get down into that. Anyone who's like taking a nap in the middle of the day and you
might go too long,
nap too long and you get into that deep,
you can't get out
kind of nap. Right. And then like you, someone wakes you up and you're like you just hate life because of, you know, your body just went too deep. Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I was never one who could take a power nap. And this was a way to take a power nap.
Yeah, it's like it has the same benefits, even more benefits than just taking a nap.
Yeah. I mean, typically when I fall asleep, like I'm the walking dead. I'm like, I'm out. I'm either out or I'm up. Like there's no in between typically.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. So that's Yoga Nidra. All right. Let's talk about Akashic Records second. Okay. So Akashic Records are what?
And that's the dimension of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Pure knowledge of your soul.
Okay.
From the soul's birth.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has access to their own Akashic records. I keep wanting you to try to get into your own records. What does that look?
No, I'm just saying, remember, I'm the skeptic. So sometimes I find these things very difficult. That's also why I'm lucky to have you, because you seem to, not that it's easy, but you're more open than I am. I have a lot of shit that blocks the way for these things, I think.
Yeah.
I have a lot of either preconceived notions or you know, biases or just other stuff that gets in the way of me being able, the inner critic. But so
judgment.
Very much so judgment. Yeah. Yes. So
blame.
It is
fear, doubt.
I'm feeling judged now. Feeling judged now. No, all right. So it is basically
it's a dimension
knowledge. Of knowledge. Okay. And
it's in a place where time,
what do you do have
to get your head around it? Because time isn't linear in the records. I think of it like a crystal ball, like everything's happening and swirling at once instead of like this linear thing.
Yeah.
So in the Akashic records, you can go to past lives, future selves, past selves, parallel lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get information, but it's not like going to a psychic. It's not like going to a medium.
Mm-hmm.
It's just channeled information from your soul.
Would you say it's also kind of a form of meditation, or is it a different way?
No,
of
it's not
accessing?
Really meditation, but you can get healings in the Akashic records. So you're working with maybe angels, angel healing, or guides, guardians, ancestors.
Yeah.
So you can work with your spirit team.
Yeah.
But you don't have to, it's not like a mediumship. It's not like a meditation. Although oftentimes you ground and meditate before you go in.
So this is something also you're going to hear come up pretty often, is we talk quite often about whether or not something like is like definitively true.
Mm.
Right. Like, you know, if you go on the Akashic records and you bring something out that has to do with like a past life or something, I think a lot of people's immediate reaction is going to be like,
what,
that's bullshit, like, you know, or that's made up, or there's no way that that's possible or that it's accurate or anything.
Well, especially people don't believe in past lives.
Well, yeah, or even just kind of even just kind of, you know, the idea that there's either parallel existence or that there's even other kind of energy that's around us that isn't necessarily us, right? Like they don't believe anything they can't touch, right?
There's like
a connection, where I'm coming from.
There's like a connection between quantum physics, people like Joe Dispenza who talk about quantum physics. Mm-hmm. There's like a connection there because when he talks about quantum physics, it very much sounds to me that he's talking about the Akashic Records. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure if I was to talk to him, he might even say it. I haven't really gone too much into his work. But so when people work in the quantum fields, I mean, it's very much, I think, another just another way of saying it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a different, different words.
Yeah.
You know,
it's very much, it's very much something where when we talk about something, we're always kind of analyzing it or looking at it from the standpoint of, okay, what result does it produce? Right. And so if it produces a negative result, then obviously it's something that we don't necessarily want to expose ourselves to the same way again, or just at all. Right. And then if it does produce a positive result, we'll dig into it and try and see why it is. But at the end of the day, even if it is a placebo effect, like who cares? Right. I mean, like if it's having a positive effect on your life. Right. And a lot of times, you know, people that are super analytical, they'll be like, oh, well, that's not the mechanism. What you're doing is actually doing something else, which is causing the positive benefit. Yeah. In which case you're like, so who fucking gives a shit? Like it's a positive effect. Right. So, Bryce is in the chat and he's saying, rainforest sounds do it for him.
Bryce, I just heard something the other day, which was that bird sounds, I'm going to look at the camera, bird sounds actually bring us out of fight or flight. And the reason is because before we were like, as we are now, when we're, I don't know, cavemen, I'm sure, but before we are now.
Cave people. Thank you very much.
The birds wouldn't sing if there was danger. So the cavemen could relax if the birds were singing. So we still have that initial like impulse that when we hear birds sing, we naturally can bring us down.
Now, we're going to have to do an episode on whether or not birds exist, because there is a theory that goes that birds do not exist.
It is the same people who believe in flat earth.
There might be some crossover.
Are they saying they're dinosaurs?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
No.
Oh, okay.
Like literally that they're not like beings.
They're robots?
I don't know. We'll have to dig into it. Oh. But I do know that there's a lot of people that are in that camp. And Bryce is saying birds speak in awareness. Well, yeah, that's, I mean, they're aware of a lot, right?
It's very cool though to think that that's like, that's one of those impulses we have from, you know.
Yes.
Way back when. Yeah. That's cool.
So, to summarize, a lot of times we look at these things and we're not necessarily saying that it exists like absolutely the way that we experience it or even at all, right? But what we are saying is that we have this experience and then this is the product of it, right? For us or for other people that we might talk to.
I feel like there's just like, what is it? I just read somewhere that like, we use the smallest part of our brain. Like we use the tiniest bit of our brain.
Really. That's actually a misnomer.
Is it?
Yeah.
How much brain do we
Well, use? No, I mean, if you're talking from a like a neuroscientist standpoint in terms of like where, you know, electrical impulses happen within your brain, you use most all your brain.
No, I don't think that was what it was.
You're talking about capacity.
Capacity.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to go back and look at it again.
Okay.
But the like there's I mean, I just think that we when you think of an average person's life, they get up, they get their kids ready for school. The kids go to school. They go to work. They come home. They eat. But there's more to life than that.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I've always felt like there's more in the sense of, I mean, the spirit world is amazing. Ancestry. I mean, even thinking back, if you don't even want to go so woo-woo, like all of the stuff like that our ancestors have experienced like that. They have talked many times about how the DNA is in you of their issues, right? Like their wounds are within your DNA up in, you know, the American Indians think 7 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows?
Well, I think there's,
seven generations,
a couple of issues there, that we're like kind of branching out into. No, but I'm saying is in terms of like, you know, using your brain or whatever, I would actually think that most people might be using those parts of their brain and they just don't, they don't process it, or like the brain just on a very elemental level is a difference engine. It's basically a computer.
Yeah.
Okay. And you make, I forget what the number is. It's like thousands of decisions every single day. It might even be more than that. Right. Mm-hmm. And those, all those decisions, you're essentially computing, you know, what the pros and cons of something are, right. Or what the possible outcome is if you go left or right or et cetera. Yeah. Right. And so that difference engine has certain kind of primordial things that are built into it. Right. And so those primordial things can be affected by generations of evolution, right? And experience. I think also we're going to kind of get into it. Your DNA, your biology and things like that can be affected by trauma. So there have,
like trauma from ancestry.
There's been research that talks about how kind of these things can get transferred between generations. And then something that's become very apparent to me recently is that when you have these things that get passed along into for generations, if you become aware of it and you like nip it in the bud, right? You
heal the generations forward.
You help everyone that comes after you, yeah. Right? Your children, your children's children, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think a lot of people think very much in a very kind of survival mindset, and they still haven't necessarily gotten out of it, which is funny because do you remember learning about the Renaissance in school?
I don't really remember.
Okay. All right.
Cool, but yes, I know a little bit about it.
All right. So the one thing I remember about the Renaissance, actually, there's a couple of things, but the one thing that I remember them trying to hammer home was the Renaissance was this period of time where people had a large amount of recreational time, right? Mm-hmm. Much more so than at any other time in history before.
The Renaissance were like big in art and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And which is why you had what they consider large leaps forward in, you know, I mean, what's funny is you look back at that and you're like, wow, that's the most boring thing I've ever seen my entire life. But apparently, you know, in terms of like realistic art techniques and stuff like that, yeah. And shading and painting and drawing faces and bodies, like it all took like a huge step forward at that time. And it was because people had tons of time to dedicate toward it. Nowadays,
we don't have
people
time.
Have, well, we would if we didn't fill it with all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and so I think one of those things that people could spend their time on is spiritual, mental health and things like that. And they just choose not to. Right.
Well, I think we're so stressed out as a culture that our nervous systems are insanely imbalanced.
Yeah.
And that makes it really hard to get still because when your nervous system's totally unbalanced, you're in fight or flight or you're in depression. Somewhere in between those, right? You're out of balance. So yeah, people started taking a look, getting quiet, being in themselves, learning some techniques.
Yeah.
Getting curious.
Well, what's the story of Buddha, right? The Buddha basically sat under a tree for something crazy, like months on end, and just kind of observed the world around him. And again, I'm not saying that, you know, Buddhism is the end all be all of, you know, philosophies and spirituality, but a lot of people have seen very positive life effects from, you know, following certain elements of Buddhist philosophy.
I would just like to say this, just as we're saying this.
Yeah.
I did take the kids. I used to do a co-op, a homeschool co-op. Mm-hmm. And I took the kids to the Buddhist temple here in New Jersey. Now, Buddhists are supposed to be vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. They eat chicken?
Vegan, vegetarian. I don't know. They're not supposed to eat dairy.
Yeah.
And they handed all the kids cookies with dairy in it.
Ooh.
And they handed them Coke and stuff in cans. And well, I was like, aren't Buddhists?
Were they like American?
Maybe a garden that they eat from.
Were they American Buddhists?
No, no. They were brought here.
So we've gotten into this before. We can talk about religion. And obviously it gets a little heated when some people talk about religion. A lot of religion, and Buddhism technically isn't a religion. It's more of a spiritual philosophy. But that being said, on that note, whether it's religion or spiritual philosophies and things like that, you actually kind of have to trace them back to their origin because a lot of what you get in the present day is all marketing. And it's like
this one's
thousands
like
of years of marketing.
This is like the Buddhist temple to visit.
No, I get that. But you also have to remember that that temple probably practices a form of Buddhism that was manufactured over hundreds or thousands of years to attract people to it. right?
Yeah.
Same thing happened of Catholicism. Same thing happened of even the Gnostics and the mystics and stuff like that even had certain aspects of their belief system that changed to try and attract people in. Right.
Well, I will say anyone who's in New Jersey, it's a beautiful temple and the grounds are freaking gorgeous.
Yeah. But yeah.
I don't know where I went off with that. Oh, you were talking about Buddhism.
Yes.
And I was just like, that just came into my mind.
No. Well, but from the standpoint of just as one example, right?
Yeah.
So the Buddha sits under a tree and watches life pass him by for months on end. Right. And he's able to kind of like meditate and stay within himself, and he finds some level of nirvana. Right. And that nirvana is based off of him having that time. He wouldn't have had that time if he had to go, you know, work out in the field and break his back.
I'll tell you what.
Doing work.
If I wasn't able to take time off after my parents died.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was like imperative.
Yes. Yeah. And that being said, I know a lot of people are going to listen to this and be like, well, I got to fucking pay my bills. So, you know, how's that work?
I still actually.
There's ways to work it out.
I worked all the way through.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
I worked through the funeral. I worked through everything.
Mm-hmm.
I worked through the time they were in the hospital.
Yeah.
But I had a very light schedule and I was very lucky to be able to have that time.
Yeah.
I don't think if I didn't have that time, I don't think I would be.
Where
I don't
are.
Even know where I would. Yeah.
Yeah, no. We have a lot to dig into. Like, we can not cover all of it in just this episode. So it's going to come out over time as we kind of do these. And we're going to do them every Sunday night at 7 Eastern.
Talking about the Akashic Records, I've been doing the soul shamanism.
Okay.
Janet Straight Arrow. And we should get her on.
Yes.
I think she would have a fun.
We should bring Janet on. Soul shamanism is kind of like in parallel or akin.
Well,
to
in the
that, right?
Yeah, we've gone to the records through shaman journeys.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone in on a point where I'm on journeys all the time.
Yeah,
and it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah,
yeah.
The one thing I want to say right now is something that's I think a lot of people are probably thinking, and I have thought for like from moment to moment, where like you've introduced me to people. And they've been like, oh, well, like, I'm certified in this, or I do this, or I'm all about this. And I'm like, this person's a fucking whack-a-loon. Like, what are they talking about, right? Like, but once you get to know them and kind of experience some of what they're doing,
brought them there,
their story and kind of how they're using it, again, we get into that realm of, you know, what's the result? Right. Is the result a person who is listless and drug addicted and mean to other people and stuff like that? Or is the result someone who is positive and moves the ball forward, so to speak, in terms of, you know, your life or what kind of impact they could have on you? I think when it's the latter, right, you're like, you know what? I don't care that they're awesome.
They
crazy.
Inspire
they're like
you in different ways.
Yeah. 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 And we could talk about, we could separate that from politics because obviously I speak more about politics and other channels. And I think, unfortunately, politics has invaded spirituality, religion, you know, self-actualization and even things like even therapy.
I would argue that politics have been in at least organized religion for quite some time.
No, they... Oh, yeah. No, they've definitely been at the heart of it. I think the difference has been that the masses haven't necessarily involved themselves so much in the process of the political fight.
Mm.
Right. It used to be just kind of the people at the top fighting. Now it's almost like the people on the ground doing it. But so anyway, that's another that's another question or another
taking
topic
notes for things you want to talk about.
Well, it's recorded. So, all right. So. Soul shamanism, Akashic records. All right, the last thing is soul art. So what is soul art?
Well, you know, because you've been mapping me.
I do. That sounds very dirty. It's not. Well, can be. What is soul
art? Well, I got certified in soul art.
Yes.
And the first certification was body mapping.
Okay.
But soul art is fucking awesome. It's, you know, this idea that creativity is you in conversation with your soul.
Yeah.
Like when you get to a place where you play with your art or wherever your creative expression goes, it's like your speaking to your soul, and you're letting it come out and play. Mm-hmm. And then you work through insights and spirit actions. And so each soul art journey mm-hmm. is like 5 steps.
Okay.
And then you go on to the next soul art journey.
Okay. So what are the basic mechanics of it? Like
you create an intention.
Okay.
And
what's an intention?
Well, it depends on what you're, when you go in to work on a soul art mm-hmm. journey, you are working for like 30 to 40 minutes to figure out your intention. Mm-hmm. Usually it's like an I am positive statement.
Okay.
And, but it's juicy.
Yeah.
It's gotta be juicy.
It's actually got some.
Yeah. Like right now I'm working on, I am rising from the ashes of expectations into abundant and authentic freedom.
Okay.
That's like my juiciness.
All right. A lot of people listening are going to be like, that sounds like a lot of words. I don't know what that means.
It's just juicy words. But it means something to me.
Try and put it in layman's terms. What does it mean to you? Just kind of like it down.
I'm being unapologetically me. Mm.
And it's without resulting in what?
We all grow up with all these conditioning. Like we do things for other people. Like losing my parents was big for me to be able to, I don't have anyone to really be there and do things for expectation wise, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm trying to let go of that.
Yeah.
And then when you let go of that, and I have parental stuff because I was an only child and we were around them all the time. Then you have society's fucking expectations. The tax man's expectations. Oh.
The tax man's expectations are very simple. You pay.
You got all kinds of expectations. Just being a parent, my goodness.
Yeah.
There's so many expectations. So I'm trying to shed myself of all those expectations mm. and just be unapologetically me.
So to someone who's like, okay, that sounds very hippy dippy. How do you live a productive life by shedding expectations?
Well, this whole idea of shedding expectations and being authentically and abundantly me by unapologetically doing that, mm-hmm. That I will be, you know, we talk about raising the energy.
Yeah.
Bringing in the opportunities that mm-hmm. I need. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And would you say that it has to do with breaking with doing, not that you're necessarily going to stop doing everything that you're doing, mm. but would you say that it breaks with why you might have done it in the past?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I have actually let go about school.
Okay.
And I'm trying to move forward. But yeah, I've always done things to make sure, you know, everything's tucked in, mm-hmm. you know? So it's time to move.
Yeah.
That's good.
This resonates with me because I am very much by, I don't know if it's my exact nature, like my, I don't know what to call it, but so like, I don't know if I'm inclined to do it or if it's just something that's a learned behavior. But a lot of times I default to like checking boxes, right? Like this is done, this is done, this is done, right? And it takes a lot of energy and attention to be like, why am I checking these boxes, right? Like, and you come to find out that some of the boxes don't need to be checked in the first place. Mm. And then you also come to find out that some of the boxes are super important. And the reason why you should be doing it isn't because you're expected to, or because that's like the norm. Mm. Like, I mean, taking care of your kids, right, isn't a check the box kind of situation.
Well,
it's you fucking love them, and that's why you do it.
Expectations on the kids thing is different. Like, how many times do we walk around and like, oh, are your kids getting socialized because they're homeschooled? Like, that's an outward expectation. But when I'm truly being unapologetically me, I'm in love with my kids.
Right? Yeah.
Like, I want to do these things for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, the expectations, take it for what it is. It's everyone's expectations are different on them. But
it's funny. You bring up that example. I'm like, lady, our 7-year-old ran across the street and sold a rock for $4 to the neighbor. We're all right. We're okay.
She's going to be charging for people to come see the rat soon.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, we haven't even talked about the menagerie in our house, and that might be a point of anxiety. I might need another bottle of wine if we talk about that. A reminder while we're in the middle of this, definitely give us a sub, help us out with a like, upvote, share, whatever you got. And like I said, throw comments into the stream and we will respond to them and the conversation will adjust accordingly. But
we had no plan for today. We're just kind of
this is just a catch up kind of thing. So all right. So I think we hit all the big ones. The final kind of note on soul art.
I just love it.
You go kind of like through a more physical first step. Right.
You do 30 to 40 minutes of intention setting, and it's deep. They call it traveling the maze and lifting the fog.
Okay.
You have to talk like it's like 30 to 40 minutes of just what's going on in your, it's like therapy in a way.
Okay.
It's like, what's going on in your life?
Yeah.
What would be different? And there's all these amazing questions that come out. Mm-hmm. And so you find the intent, like, so if you want to write a book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your intention in life isn't to write the book. The intention is to is something to do with you.
Yeah.
Not I am writing a book.
Like tell a story.
I am a fucking amazing storyteller. Yeah, right. Like, or something like that. So that's
heal
why
from an event or
yeah. So the intention is different than what most people, when I have brought people through intention setting, because I just do intention setting sessions.
Mm-hmm.
I've done them for 3 people now, and all of them within 6 months got to their intention.
Yeah.
Like one of them was about safe housing and being able to expand, like expansion.
Yeah.
And in like 2 months, she got a place really cheap out of nowhere. I was like, what?
Yeah.
When you get to the juice of it, but you have to do the work.
You know the phrase like speak it into existence, right? The actual speaking part might not be what causes something to come into existence, but speaking it makes it possible.
Words are spells,
right? That's yeah. Right. Words spelling. Are spells. Yes. Words are spells, mm-hmm. and they can be good spells or bad spells. So, but that being said, just speaking it makes it a possibility. Mm-hmm. Right. And so by speaking something and putting it into words, that is my intention. It almost kind of, whatever you want to call it, subconsciously or kind of like at a core level.
Because you go through all that, it's the essence of it.
It gives you a driving direction, mm-hmm. right? So I think what's interesting about it is people can use it for all different kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
So the most kind of like marketable aspect of it would be like, you know, someone is... whatever, they're unhappy in their life and they want to like fix something, right? And the intention can help them address one of the myriad of things that's unhealthy or not working for them. But that's like the very kind of like surface level. What I like is that you want to work with people to get more creative, because there are some people that really they need perspective almost. And that perspective of kind of that normie 9-to-5 kind of life, you know, that standard kind of life, you have to get like a little weird and crazy before you can truly understand what's possible. Right. And that creativity piece is part of it.
We are Gen X.
Yeah.
And it's a tough life for Gen X. That's all I'm saying. Once you hit your 40s.
Yeah.
Shit goes, changes. I'm not saying it goes bad, but so much shit is happening to Gen X and these 40s.
The best is the Gen X memes, man. It's like
it's so true though.
The one meme is like
I mean, I haven't found one that hasn't made sense to me. That's the problem.
I forget what it is. It's like basically like millennials or zoomers, and they're like, well, we gotta talk about our feelings and people don't care about my feelings. Then Gen Xers are like, you got feelings? Like wait, you're allowed to have those?
It's a rough world for a Gen X, I think.
It is. Gen X is an interesting.
Yeah. And generation. You know what? And then, and the soul art is intention and then body mapping, which you know well.
Yeah.
You could explain body mapping.
Yeah. People actually would be familiar with this process if they, like, there are certain art classes and things like that people have been through. So you, like, lay down on a full size piece of paper or canvas or something like that, and someone draws an outline of you, and you could pose however you want, right? And then you're essentially creating art on top of that form of your body
in your outline, which is so fucking cool on so many levels.
Which now your body, this is how this deviates from, like, you know, art class in high school and grade school. You're not drawing a picture of yourself. Like, your job is not to like do a self portrait and make the thing on the paper look like you. You're supposed to make it look like something completely different than
you're not
really
supposed
a person.
To do anything. You're just supposed to play.
But if it ends up looking exactly like you look that day, more than likely you didn't get the
they didn't have me as the soul art guide.
Yeah. This is not arts and crafts, right? We're not making a
you just let loose.
We're not making a turkey for Thanksgiving with construction paper and our five fingers.
No, yeah. And you know, oftentimes it switches and changes and you're out. You know, none of mine have really come out as people for the most part, right?
No.
I don't know.
No.
And then you just do insight. You spend a good 30 minutes with insight. And then spirit action is creating something to finish the journey and bring your energy back. Mm-hmm. It's very shamanistic. Mm-hmm. Actually, so by the time by the end of the year, maybe beginning of next year, I should be at the last certification, which is Soul Art Shaman.
Yeah. So how does it progress from there really quickly? So the first stage is like intention setting, body mapping, like draw your body, do some art and stuff like that. Yeah. And that helps you kind of like get the train going down the tracks, right? But so once you're done with that, what are the next
kind of
phases? Well,
you can do as many body maps as you want.
Oh, sure.
I'm doing body mapping was the first one. And then energy mapping, which is so cool. I'm doing a soul star, earth star, core star, earth realm and spirit realm. And it's like a really amazing journey. I just love it so much. And then the third certification is creation. Mm-hmm. So it's taking something and creating something in the world. And then the fourth certification is shaman, which is finding your medicine for the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very. I'll let you know as I get further.
Not pharma type medicine. Right?
No.
Yeah. You're like, fuck no. And we're going to talk about some of that stuff too, because there is some insanely awesome things that exist in this world that not very many people talk about. You know what? We talked about it a while back. The idea. Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. While we talk about it. We talked about it a while back and it's like, you got to open up.
Oh, wow.
So the overwhelming, I guess, kind of like impulse for people right now, is they're waking up, right? Like they're a lot of people have been jogged out of sleep. Right.
Yeah.
And when you wake up, you're disoriented.
I think COVID did that to a lot.
Oh yeah, no, and actually it was happening before COVID, but COVID was like kind of like the neutron bomb of waking people up, right? And I think the issue is that now that people have woken up after such a long sleep, they're groggy, like stuff's foggy, like they don't understand where they're at or
nobody knows
what direction they're headed in, right?
Someone just said the other day, like even just the what everyone went through with COVID.
Yeah.
It feels like it was last year, 2020. It was fucking 4 years ago.
Well, that's when that shit started. That's when that shit started.
No, I know, but that's just that trauma.
Still going on now.
I mean, you think about it and you think it's just a year. We've lost 4 years. I mean, it's really crazy to think about.
The impact that a lot of these things are having. And what's funny is I had to put in like topics on Rumble for what our show is about now. Mm-hmm. Like we would never on Rumble. This is the first episode we're putting on Rumble. Actually Rumble wasn't really a big thing when we were doing the show 16 months ago. When I had to pick topics for it, it was like, okay, entertainment, right? It's really easy with the anarchist investor stuff because that's like finance. And then like the subcategories, like I talk a lot about crypto. There's no option for like gold and silver and stuff, right? For us, it was entertainment. And I'm scrolling down. I'm like spirituality, religion, some of them weren't even available. Right.
Yeah.
And then what comes up is conspiracy theories. And I'm like, that's it.
Did you think
I was like, that's
you
it.
You should tell them about the article I read you.
Wait, which one?
The COVID conspiracy theory. Oh my God. It's insanity.
We shouldn't get
getting off the
too political, but I mean,
this is a ridiculous article.
The overwhelming state of people is that they're in kind of this fog. And what's funny is in real time, I think you're seeing a lot of people trying to conduct revisionist history to get people to go back to sleep. Right. And so a lot of the people stayed asleep regardless of, you know, the 8.0 earthquake that we had within the last four or 5 years. But the people that are awake, some of them they're trying to put back to bed because now all of a sudden, like, oh, what happened didn't happen, right? It's very 1984, you know. They're editing the history books in real time as we speak right now. But I think a lot of folks they're looking for direction. And so a lot of them have turned to things. We were talking about it just earlier today. A lot of people have turned to stuff that's been there for a while, right? So,
We were talking about,
you know, religion specifically, right? Like it presents a ready kind of path,
container,
right? Yeah, a container, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, right? It presents somewhat of an off the shelf, ready to go kind of way to try and regain your footing, right? Spirituality is a little bit more kind of like, it's not as organized, right? So it's like, it's amorphous. And so, but that being said, there's such a huge number of people that consider themselves now, like they call it SBNR, like spiritual, but not religious, right?
So I was just thinking is so crazy. It's like, we were talking about the Akashic Records and how people think that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like the idea, cause you can't touch it, but I mean, no one's really touched the whole Jesus Christ thing.
What about it?
Like the whole, like the stories in the Bible, people who are working in that religion, it's not something that people know for sure either. It's a leap of faith.
I mean, like any, I mean, they call it faith for a reason, yeah. right? I think some people, this is the other kind of like, it's not a catch 22. I think it's a, maybe it's a paradox or something. It's essentially people want an answer that, gives them faith again, right? We were talking about this with the Eric Weinstein interviews that I've been watching, portal theory and this kind of thing. And I think people are grasping for these kind of this exact knowledge of they've been shaken and now they want something that gives them absolute truth, right?
Yeah.
Because the things that they had faith in for so long have now been sullied so badly, or the pillars of that faith has been eroded so much by whatever you want to call it, you know, greed, you know, the abuse of power, basically enslavement, right? That they're searching for something that's going to be rock solid. And anything where there's not like a definitive answer for something, at least it gives them some kind of context.
Well, it gives them a community too. Gives them a community to tap into.
Yes. Yeah. And
other people who think alike. Whereas in spirituality, kind of it's not the same kind of community. It's not something that you.
Well, the problem is that that might not be actually available, right? So like what's sold to them and what they actually purchase are two different things, right? And I've been trying to make this point with Bitcoin, right? As an investment guy during the day.
Well, you should talk about what you've been up to.
Well, I will really quickly. It's not
segue.
It's not nearly as interesting as what you've been up to, but I get in this with Bitcoin because Bitcoin is religion-like, right? And it's something where I think people want the answer, right? They're searching for the answer.
I would say the.
The answer. But that being said, it's possible that there isn't just one answer. It's possible that there's no definitive answer. There's just kind of a direction.
Answers.
Right? Yes.
What if it's that? The
or an infinite number of answers.
What if everyone's answers are different from the next person?
But no one wants to hear that because they want the same security that they had when they were sleeping. Mm. And that security was they had some kind of definitive sense of what their life looked like.
Yeah.
Now they don't.
And now and the they're financial
trying to get it
falling
back.
Falling apart. There's your segue.
Because merchandising. No.
No, but you think you had, you know, your financial life planned out. And then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The shit's going down.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of folks are grasping at things like Bitcoin. Not to say that Bitcoin's a bad investment. I don't know if it's everything that other people make it out to be. I mean, we own some, but I think there are other people that are, they are religious about it. They feel that it is the thing, right? The thing.
That sounds like duh.
Yeah. Well, depends on what we're talking about. But that being said, you know, regardless of whether it's economics or investment or religion and spirituality or health and fitness or family life, right? Like all of these different aspects of life are now up for questioning. Whereas in the past, there seemed to be not everyone, but a very large portion of the population that they were like, I got it nailed. I know exactly what I need to do. I work this many years. I put this amount of money away. This is how I parent my children. They go to public school. They get into a good college. They get a good job afterward, right? Like, this is the progression that we go through in life, right? Like, I'm active in my local church, and I go to my town council meetings, or I vote for the guy who lives down the street, and he's going to speak for me. And, you know, these people are going to look out for me out of the goodness of their heart and the fact that they have a obligation to uphold the faith, right? In that infrastructure, in those institutions, right? And you've seen them fall one by one. And a lot of people say, oh, well, like, my religion didn't fall, or my health didn't fall. But guaranteed, if you don't feel that one of those dominoes fell, you almost certainly feel that one or multiple of the other ones fell, right? And so I think a lot of people are searching, as are we. I mean, we had some huge catastrophes that happened, or losses that happened. And those things have compelled us to look under some rocks that we probably wouldn't have looked under past, you know? Actually, I love the story of how you came to, we didn't even talk about human design. And I would like to talk
about. We used to talk about human design.
Well, yeah, we talked about it a little bit, kind of like surface level.
Now I'm on Jukies.
We're going to start to dig more into it. But I love how you came to human design and you came to some of these other things. It was essentially something where you're, mother and like I said, you know, put whatever kind of explanation on it that you want, but almost speaking from the afterlife or from the spirit world kind of guided you in that direction, right? And you can rationalize it, you know, you could be like, oh, well, you know, you were looking into her emails for other things and you found these, or people contacted you because they were friends with her and they were in that world. But really, I mean, things kind of just came to you.
Yeah.
And it presented a very helpful, healthy way of, how would you put it? Like re-commiserating with your mother, or like getting to extend that time with her, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And deconditioning, which is a human design term, but I feel like it should be a term anywhere. Just,
we got to do an entire episode on deconditioning.
Deconditioning takes 7 years.
Well, yeah. And it happens.
Because your cells.
And it happens not just in human design world.
Oh, but that's, when you look up deconditioning, it's the only thing it's on. Like, I know in the therapy world, but I guess it must be another name. I'm so in that world now that I don't even remember the other words. But like, yeah, deconditioning is just how I think of going back to why I was the way I was, how I grew up, why I made the decisions I made.
Yeah.
You know, and human design really helped with that.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I was saying there's like parallels in other like aspects of life too. So for instance, we unschool our kids, and luckily we never sent them to public school, but there are other families that during
That's
COVID,
called de-schooling.
Well, and it's a form of deconditioning, right?
Yeah. Well, the conditionings of the school.
There's an off ramp, right? Like, you can't just get off the highway.
You can't just stop
and slow down immediately. It takes time to slow down. It takes time to come to the understanding.
For kids, especially.
Yeah, that was the old way, right? Like that's what was expected of you before. And you know, we've talked about unschooling and homeschooling in the past. And how, I mean, just for us, it works different for different families, but we did not want to create public school at home.
Well, I mean, de-schooling is really about when your kid leaves, when you take your kids home, you do nothing for a good amount of time, months.
Well, not nothing.
No, you let them just be them.
No, I understand that.
You know,
I mean they do shit. They like, you don't lock them in the room.
No, but you just let them choose their path.
Yes.
You let them choose their path and you learn how to support that. And so that's like a real... I've heard that kids, when they come out of that de-schooling period, are apparently like new children.
Oh yeah.
We never dealt with that, but.
Well, look, when you've spent any amount of time in a prison, it takes time. Go through parole. You gotta figure out what the real world is like again. I digress. Anyway, so yeah, is there anything else you want to say about what you've been through? We're going on an hour now, so I want
to
be like,
you have to talk about yours.
No,
what you've been doing. We did what I'm doing, but yeah. I haven't heard what you've been doing.
Well, we can talk logistically. I mean, like, so I have sold out of a business. I've started woodworking, which I have a number of pieces that I've now set aside for a while because I'm working on something else as well.
In the garage.
Yes. Yeah. I have to finish them.
And they're
actually
good.
I have a
good woodworking.
I wish I had one behind me, but I have a maple coffee table that's been sitting. But the reason why it's been sitting is because I really want to develop multiple streams of income, which, again, another lesson from COVID world is, you know, if you have one job and you can't go to it, how are you supposed to feed your family and take care of things, right?
Yeah.
Part of being ungovernable is not just a mindset thing, but also a preparation thing. And so what you want to do is never be in a place where you have to be under someone else's boot, so to speak, and that has multiple things that you have to do as a predecessor to that. You have to, you know, work on your mind, you have to work on your spirit, your body, your finances, your
home life.
No, but
you make it sound so
hard, right?
Like, you make it not sound fun.
Well, no, it can be totally fun. I mean, so the reason why I put the woodworking just kind of on pause for a little bit was because I wanted to start up the newsletter. And so I write a newsletter every Monday through Friday. It's called The Anarchist Investor on Substack. Actually, interestingly enough, shameless self-promotion.
Oh, are you going to show your business card?
No.
Oh, he has a good business card.
No, but tomorrow, actually, live at noon, I'm giving away 4 ounces of silver. This is $100 right here.
Are you giving away $100?
This is actual money, by the way. This isn't debt. This is actual money, as opposed to the toilet paper that the Federal Reserve puts out
They're
there.
They're heavy.
They are. It's a full ounce of silver.
It's season's greeting.
It does. It doesn't matter what's on the outside.
It has
you either get
Rudolph
a choice of
red-nosed reindeer.
Rudolph, or you get Santa. If you don't celebrate, sorry, but free silver is free silver. But so anyway, if you sub to anarchistinvestor.substack.com, you get in on the drawing. And I do a drawing every single month. And also I'm going to be drawing for anyone who's a paid subscriber as well. And there's special stuff that goes with that too. But so anyway, I wanted to get that off the ground.
And then you're going to go back to the woodworking.
Yes. Yeah. And it all kind of ties together. Like, the goal being that there's multiple streams of income, but they have overlap, right?
I like the minor thing.
Miners. Mining. Okay.
Whatever. It's not minor.
Well, no, I'm not a miner. I'm not a miner.
I thought it was a
I'm not into thing. Miners. I like mining, like crypto. Yeah.
But you have to get miners.
Yes, that's correct.
So why are you looking at me like that? I said it right. I said I like the miners.
Watch out. We're on YouTube. We're going to get in trouble. Anyway, so yes, part of the like whole investment thing is finding different avenues for creating cash flow. Real estate investing, crypto mining. So I actually have passive crypto miners that are coming that have to do with sharing telemetry and road mapping data with a decentralized network that's putting together things that are competing with the other centralized authorities that are out there. So meaning, you know, Google Maps and Google Earth and
Google does everything. I'm so upset that
the CIA made sure that they did.
It's like everything goes through it.
But so that being said, that's the real goal, is to have multiple streams of income, have them somewhat related to each other. And the reason why they're related is, you know, for autonomy, it's for redundancy and risk management. And so I actually have to find out, I would love to hear in the comments, what you think might be good woodworking projects that would dovetail or work into, anarchist investment or, creating kind of, these freedom type, business practices, life practices, and things like that. I really want to make products in the woodworking realm that also kind of work with the other stuff. I mean, can't really make a wood safe, right? Like, that doesn't really work.
I mean,
or they usually don't work too good with fires, which is usually why you have a safe.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah. I mean, I could do like concealment furniture and stuff too, but again, fire, you don't exactly want to put like your gold and silver or your you know, your cold storage wallet on in a, you know, a cupboard that's going to end up burning up in a house fire or something, you know. But so anyway,
interesting idea.
That's what I'm working on. So
that's like an ask.
Yeah. Like, but a couple of the miners actually super interesting are because they work on like the car driving around. I have one that's like a weather one that kind of takes pictures of the sky and helps with plane traffic and weather conditions. They're all decentralized ways of monetizing your own data. So if you think about it, on some of the channels right now that we're streaming on,
all the time,
we're providing the content,
money and stuff off.
And you know, Google and Facebook and all them, they're making the money off of this. We don't really make anything. When we do make money, it's always not the lion's share of it, right? Like it's a pittance. All
the mama bears out there, which ones use 5G? You got to be careful.
Oh, right? Well,
some of them use 5G.
Well, I mean,
smart meters. Did they say smart meters?
Well, no, there's no smart meters.
Oh, no.
Or there might be some. I didn't put them on out of deference for you. Is that the right word?
Ooh, we're getting grounding sheets.
We are.
And
go ahead.
I just learned that castor oil can be a deodorant.
Oh my God.
We'll see how that works.
There was something else that you were talking about with castor oil for like a cleanse or something.
Yeah, I
right?
want you to do the castor oil warm pack on your belly and with the warm for an hour for 3 days.
More
and then
to come.
Drink the olive oil. He needs it. He just hasn't done it yet. He's got to pick an hour every day for 3 days.
This is
Edgar Casey, also taken from the Akashic Records, but this is like tried and true.
We also haven't done the parasite cleanse yet.
No, that's the next. We should do the castor oil first. The problem is when you do castor oil packs, sometimes it can feel like the flu because you're detoxing everything out. Everything's being pulled out of your liver and your kidneys, and you have to pass that. So I'm not looking forward to those days with you. But I'm going to do it next to you.
More to come. Maybe on this, if I actually bite on this one, but
I have everything.
So yeah, I mean, I'm going to share this in public just because I want to be transparent. So I talked to someone who's in the shaman / therapy realm, right?
You should bring him on.
Just
to talk about you.
There's shaman client privilege, I think. No, but it's something that I've been completely averse to for pretty much all my life. And I've come to find out in very short order that it's helped me a lot because it's helped me ask questions, like going back to the whole thing. It's helped me ask questions and find answers to those questions that I was very afraid to ask.
With support. Well, you have the support then.
Yes. You have someone to at least guide you as opposed to just kind of venturing into that realm by yourself and then feeling like you have no help and you're just kind of, you know, like living in it. And I actually think there's a lot of people that have, like, you know, quote unquote, woken up and they're black pilled. They are very much depressed, and it's because they've looked into the void and they don't see anything there. And it's because they're kind of stuck. Like they don't want to go through the progression. Like they don't want to go through the portal.
There's
right?
so much freedom,
they're kind of like
though.
Stuck in the portal. They don't want to go through
like
it.
Like we talked a little bit about losing people when you start to energetically raise your vibration, which is exactly what it is. But there's so much freedom on that other side. Like you find your joy and you find your love and you find, but you understand what's been holding you back in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always a scary prospect, I think, to start to work on yourself. But it's also like being able to find a time to meditate every day is actually so relaxing once you get into the habit.
Yeah.
And it's like almost a necessary that I love it.
Well, and I think a lot of people are going to, hopefully they see parallels because I think when you start talking about things like this, especially when it comes to say like religion and spirituality, I think a lot of people are like, well, you know, I don't need that because whatever, I go to this church or I do this or whatever. Yeah. You're going to see parallels. So even when we say something like meditation, in my book, you know, prayer is a form of meditation.
Yeah.
So there's so much crossover that happens between these things. And, you know, just from a philosophical standpoint, like I was saying, a lot of religion, philosophies, and spirituality nowadays are literally the product of hundreds or thousands of years of marketing. When you get down to the base of most of them,
very similar.
They share so many common components, you know?
I have a problem where the politics meet it. Well, I don't have a problem with the religions themselves.
I mean, we're going to try not get too political.
I'm not getting political. You are.
That's I have to remind myself that all the time. But let me assure you, there will be some episodes where we'll go, there will be like a warning on it or whatever. Like, you know,
caution tape,
politics warning or whatever, you know.
No, but you have to be, it's not something that, it's something that is scary. But when you get into really working, like I like that thing that happened to me the other day working on the stillbirth I had in 2008.
Yeah.
It's so fucking amazing to understand all of a sudden to have that insight and understand, holy shit.
Yeah.
That's been doing that to me. And it's been years and I can let it go now.
Yeah.
And there's such a freedom in that. And, you know, it does come with tears sometimes or screaming or, you know, needing something. But it's like there's such a release that, you know, people don't understand that because we get so held into patterns and expectations.
I would say from my personal experience, and this is something that might, you know, help someone who's watching now or the recorded or listening to the recorded version. If you find that you're reacting to things in life and you feel like you don't have control over your reaction, where it's just pure emotion or just habit, and you have these like habitual reactions, I see this in like, you know, weight loss stories all the time, how someone runs to food for, you know, comfort or even, you know, self-harm as a result of, you know, stress or anxiety or something. If you find that you have these like habitual behaviors, they typically root back to something. And it might be multiple somethings,
it's
right?
It's just a symptom.
And it could have been afflicting you. It could have been afflicting your mother or father.
It could have been ancestral. You're right. It could be all the way the fuck back.
You know, I've had tons of people. I've actually thought about this like 15 minutes before we went live. I thought about this. Lots of people are like, you have like, you know, your father's laugh, or you have like your, you know, mother's sense of humor or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that's, it could be partly genetic. It could also be a lot of learned behavior, and it could be learned behavior, not just from them, right? Like it could be, generation to generation to generation.
Dude, life is so fucking cool. That's all I'm saying is like, when you start to allow the layers, just to get curious, you don't have to say you believe in them, right? Just to get curious and be like, I wonder what's out there. Fucking life is awesome.
This is like Gary Vaynerchuk.
Oh my god, territory. We should sing "Everything Is Awesome."
No, I assure you, I will never sing that. She might, I will not.
It's just such a fucking awesome thing.
Well, yeah, and like I said, this is like Gary Vaynerchuk territory because he all the time he's like, you realize you hit like the lottery being on this planet at this time, especially if you're in like a Western culture. Where there's like all this technology, going back to the Renaissance conversation, all this free time and all this entertainment and stuff like that. He was like, there's a reason why people are so soft. It's because shit's easy. So easy right now. You hit the lottery.
It's
like
easy
you hit
on a lot of ways, but not easy on some spiritual ways. I think people right now are being called to fucking break open, and that's not easy. And
yeah.
Even though you might have some other easy things, right? Like living in a first world country, that work too can be fucking hard.
Oh yeah.
And like sometimes I was just talking about this the other day about the idea of tribes and like people who live very below means, right? Like but they live in tribes. I was just wondering out loud the other day, like, what it was like to live in a place where people, when someone died, it was a community thing, right? It was like, it was a whole tribe thing. And when kids in tribes actually went out and did these, you know, movements to become men and, you know, women, and it just, I wonder what that would have been like.
Yeah.
Like, so we are missing it in a lot of ways, but yeah, it's awesome in the sense that we have running water and we have food and we have Netflix when you're having a bad day.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know? What have you replaced, right? Like, the ease of the basics of life. Now, that being said, the ease of the basics of life are getting more difficult. And they're getting more difficult because of self-inflicted wounds, or at least not things that, you know, we as individuals have done, things that our leaders have done, right? But up until now, I mean, what have you replaced those things with, where, you know, you had to live with, you know, going to bathroom in an outhouse, but at the same time you had maybe a much tighter knit sense of community.
It's much more
community. Right. Like, what have you given like up?
You know, it's always the big meme you see where all the kids are in their, well, was that the one where they were doing the ball drop from somewhere and all the people had their phone up?
Yeah.
Right. Instead of watching it, they were watching their screen.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
We're like this is like,
there is a bit by George Carlin. Mm. And he goes, I think in one of his albums, he did a bit called Free Floating Hostility, where he just brings up a bunch of things, just rapid fire. Yeah. Right. And one of the things he brings up, and this is such like a Gen X thing, is 1 hour photo finishing. Right. Okay. Someone who is, all right, millennials and zoomers, if you are watching, let me explain this to you. Back in the day, there was no digital photography.
You brought your little camera.
You had a roll of film. You've probably seen it in a museum.
Disposable camera.
Yes. Yeah. A disposable camera, roll of film. And you basically had to take the picture and then you had to bring the camera, the roll of film to a place.
Yeah.
And they.
Instant place.
Yeah. If you have been in a dark room before, like in, you know, high school or something, if they have a dark room, if you still do, you know, kind of old school photography, you get it. But anyway, they had places that did.
There was one right in Marston.
Photographs. And back in the day, before they had 1 hour photo, you had to wait like a freaking week.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
You did.
But in the 90s, when George Carlin did this bit, you could bring it to a place and in your lunch hour,
get it.
Bang, you got your pictures afterward. And George Carlin was like, can you please explain to me the need for 1 hour photo finishing? He was like, you just saw the fucking thing. Right?
Yeah.
It's like that direct experiential part of life is also something that we've been almost kind of like pulled away from because of whatever you want to call it, technology or progress or whatever.
You know? I think it's just huge.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So
George Carlin's
we have a very, he was way ahead of his time.
It's a good way to
way ahead
bring
of his
it
time.
To a close.
So we have so much to talk about in the future.
You didn't tell him about the new pets real quick.
Oh my God. Let's see. We have
a bearded dragon. Rabbit.
We have a rabbit whose ear doesn't work.
Yeah.
We're like an island of misfit toys.
Well, the bearded dragon has a crooked toe.
The
rabbit has one ear that doesn't work.
We have a half-blind Catahoula leopard dog.
Yeah. We have a three-legged.
Well, we already knew about the three-legged dog, but.
Maltese.
Yeah.
Maltese.
Wait, no. Westy Maltese mix.
We have a dog.
Were you pre-gaming?
No. We have another dog that's old and getting really shaky.
Oh, yeah. She's got cranky legs.
She's so sad.
Yeah. And we have a cat.
She has nothing wrong with her except she's got an attitude.
Yeah.
And, I love her.
And we had two rats that were perfectly healthy in every possible way until the one rat bit the other one and they lost part of their tail.
So now we have a tailless.
And that was
a half tailless.
That was an emergency to be dealt with as well. Yeah, so we have literally a menagerie in our house, but they are awesome. All part of our family.
They
now.
Are so good.
Yeah. Well, some of them have better
attributes. Maybe one day you can have the rat on your shoulder during the podcast.
They would probably chill, or I'll have a hoodie on. So anyway, that being said, we're going to be here every Sunday at 7.
Yeah, yay. I've been wanting to start this up again.
And if you are watching and you are someone who wants to be a guest because you have something you could talk about, or you know of someone that you would like to see on the show, to talk about spirituality,
are we gonna have Shane
mind body balance?
He was gonna come up.
I haven't nailed down a date,
but he said he was gonna come.
We could totally talk yoga nidra.
You want to talk immortality?
Grounding sheets with him. We could talk about the Immortality Key, which is an incredible freaking book. I still haven't finished it. I can only
do
like
hear his thoughts. I've
five
never
pages.
I am like the outside. I didn't read it. Maybe I should read it.
Hopefully you get through it faster than I did because I read five pages of thing.
Right. I just,
and my mind is just going.
I just,
you know,
kind of skim and take in what.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
We're going to have to dive deeper into that so people actually know what that means. So anyway, with that, look, we're like at 18 people. That's awesome.
We have 18 people.
For our first
Hello.
Night. Yep. Yeah. So,
Hello.
We hope to see you back here again next week. And
don't forget your ask.
Your ask
would work.
Your ask? What?
My ask. No, it was your ask.
My ask. Oh, what could I do?
Woodworking
wise.
To meet with the anarchist investor.
That goes with anarchy investing and or being ungovernable and free and loving liberty.
I'm going to think about that. You didn't ask me.
I'll ask you too. It's a wide open question. I will take feedback from anyone. So with that, we will see you next week at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. And
is this our new time?
Yes. Yeah, this is our new time going forward.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And if you are subbed, you will also potentially see me live at noon tomorrow, giving away some silver and noon tomorrow every Monday through Friday. Away? Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You gotta be subbed to the newsletter by tonight. To be in the running.
Get in
the running. And the best part about it is it's free. You get an awesome newsletter every Monday through Friday.
I'm so impressed with how fast you write it. I can't do that. I, however, did do on my Substack. I was like, I channeled you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I channeled you.
Yeah. See, you don't see the 15 minutes where I just stare at the screen blindly, like, what the hell am I going to write about? A lot of it has to do with whatever the news is that day, but there are some legacy things that I have, like a list of stuff. Yes. Yeah. Actually, last week I wrote about uranium. Great investment opportunity, by the way. Anyway, I digress.
I know that Uranus is a planet.
It's a planet. Yeah.
A planet that's going in an astrological direction that I was just talking to Janet about.
Yeah, it's a planet amongst other things. It's not
Uranus.
Goodbye, YouTube. Anyway, with that, I appreciate all of you, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Next week.
Peace.